Welcome once again, everyone, to No Filter Sports. Eli Zarrett, Bob Page, Denny McClain, here from the plush Red Shovel Studios in the basement of Drew Lane's Ferndale home. We are one of four shows of the Red Shovel Network. We're the sports guys, and a lot to talk about today, even though we're kind of in a gap period in that the All-Star week is kind of a slow week, so the baseball doesn't resume until Friday night. We are recording Thursday, July 11th.
I'm glad you brought that up. This is a great thing to pull in bars, but don't do it now because we're at this time of year. Ask somebody next time you're in a bar. I got a trivia question for you, yeah? Name the only 2 days on the calendar year where there is no action at all in any professional sport. Hmm. And people sit there and they say, well, Christmas? No, not Christmas. Christmas Eve? No, it's the day before.
Mother's
and
Day?
And the day after the Major
Wednesday.
League Baseball game.
Mother's Day? Well, there was
no,
a time.
No, you can name all you want. It's the day before and the day after the Major
Mother's
League
Mother's Day, there's all kinds of baseball on Mother's Day. The worst was 25 years ago, this time of year, when Major League Baseball, when the players went on strike and the rest of the season was canceled, including the World Series, there was nothing going on except for minor league baseball. It was the toughest period ever. You do need games to generate the information. But anyway, so there was the home run derby the other night. By the way, before we get started, two 80-year-olds in the news. Number one, we had 80-year-old Dick Vitale on the other day, and I'm very gratified at the response we've got. And we had him on for 40 minutes, so that was a little lengthy. I had guys tell me I couldn't listen to Dickie V all day long.
You can. He's one of those guys you can talk to. You meet him in a bar, he'll talk for 4 hours, by the way.
I said even the part about his eye, and he's like, that was fascinating. I never heard that before. The thing that stood out for me, and because I know, because we all know Dickie V so well, was, and this has always been his kind of position during his years on ESPN, he just vigorously defends all coaches. And it's because coaching was so difficult for him. I think he was a really bright basketball man. You saw what he did at U of D. But he was unable to coach because it just tore him apart. He couldn't take the losing. So I think he has this deep admiration for any coach that can survive because he knows how there's only two states of mind in coaching, as Chuck Daly said. There's winning and there's misery. That's it.
Well,
and he couldn't deal with the misery, and he has great respect for all the guys that survive and can.
And if you take it home with you after you lose a couple of ball games in a row, it's going to destroy you. And obviously, it almost destroyed him. And as sick as he got.
You noticed that I asked
him
a couple of good questions about college basketball and college basketball cheating. He evaded them. He doesn't want to talk about it because he makes his living from college basketball, and anything negative might hurt him. So there's more to it than meets the eye. There's more to this than meets the eye. And that's, I love Dick, you know that, but that's the one aspect of his presentation that I don't like.
Well, you know, there are, it's true that ESPN, you know, makes a lot of their money on college basketball, but he did come up with a solution to pay players, which shows that he knows it needs to be fixed in some way. And I think the other thing that he can't avoid, you know, Dick is an Italian American. And he's obviously, you mentioned the Valvano thing. He loves his paisanos.
Yep.
Patino, who he went out of his way to say, knew nothing about the money paid to Brian Bowen, which may be true, but that's the way they insulate themselves because Patino's smart enough, and I'm not singling him out, that you have to be removed from this. Your assistant coaches have to take the heat and fall on the sword.
And you know, Patino's in Greece now, right? Coaching. And his big event in the last week or so was that he got up in front of the entire basketball stadium and said, "You people have to stop smoking in here while we're playing basketball." Honest to God, he got up in the middle of the stadium.
I saw that.
And had everybody stop smoking. And the next game, when they came out, he made another announcement before the game, and everybody started smoking in the second game again.
Here's what we're talking about. What I'm talking about. I had this for later on in the show, but since you guys bring this up and we get into it now, I want to tell you this. This is an article from Phil Mushnick in the New York Post the other day. New Jersey tax dollars and exorbitant student activity fees at work. This is a kid named Issa Thiem, recruited from Senegal to play basketball at Rutgers on a full scholarship. Thrown off the team in March, following his seventh counts arrest for allegedly assaulting a woman. Now, the 6'9 Thiem, according to the Newark Star-Ledger newspaper, he was prepared to plead guilty to this, but the judge ruled that Thiem could not adequately defend himself because he doesn't speak English, and he's at Rutgers University. And I've told you about this before. Remember when I told you this? At the NBA draft, they said that Rui Hachimura, the great Gonzaga player who's going to the NBA, doesn't speak English either. Dick Vitale doesn't want to handle that. How are these guys getting in to play the corrupt game of college basketball, going to universities when some of them don't even speak English?
Well, they've got translators.
That's right. Yeah.
Exceptions. Are,
like, now, you know, I see a little Japanese guy in Major League Baseball dugouts.
I talk to you about double play.
One final note on the whole Patino not knowing about it. Larry Brown, the great coach, maybe the greatest basketball coach of all time, at Kansas, his team was put on probation because of recruiting violations with Danny Manning. My personal friend was Larry Brown's bag man. In other words, he employed the players in the off season. He fell on the sword when the investigators came and protected Larry. So they've all got a cocoon, just like the protective gear that the NASCAR guy or the IndyCar racers, so when they get into a crash, they're protected.
That's right.
So they all have their cocoon of protection. And I'm not saying it's wrong because there's so much money, as I tried to say to Dick, we get into that. There's such economic value to these players that it lends itself, it's human nature that there has to be corruption because they're so valuable and we're not allowed to pay them.
Well, keep on excuse me one second. The thing with the guys who are their gophers, for the lack of a better term.
Okay.
Bagmen.
Gophers.
Agents, shoe guys, assistant coaches.
We don't need to call them criminals.
I call them a bagman. That's good.
Well, they're criminals.
Yeah, okay.
And the bottom line is they want to be there anyway. They would be there free. I mean, they're being paid to some degree. They're probably being paid pretty good money in some instances. But the bottom line is, they want to be there. They want to collect the jerseys and the pants and the jock straps and the shoes.
Chuck Person, who was an NBA player for a long time, was one of the guys caught up in it with the Auburn thing. But it's a phony system. We all know it has to be changed. We didn't have to beat that to death.
You think it'll change during our lifetime?
Oh yes, it's changing now. This whole with kids going to Australia, the one and done, they're going to change that. It has to.
Well, I hope we heard.
Why should they change that? And what I was going to say is, I thought the NBA did address this nobly when they started the G League. If you're a foreign kid who doesn't speak English, if you're perhaps, let's tell it like it is, an African-American kid from the city who does poorly in school and struggles with English, why should you go to college? We'll pay you now to play minor league basketball for a year or two. You don't have to worry about studies or college. And then when you're ready at age 20 or 21, then you come to the NBA. But that still hasn't worked.
You're right.
There's still too much cheating.
You shouldn't
going
be forced to go to college to play basketball. Basketball.
I totally agree with that. And you know what? Baseball is the perfect example. They signed a 16-year-old kid the other day.
Yeah.
And they're not making him go to college. They're not making him find out if he can read or write or anything else.
Baseball doesn't require that, but yeah.
And by the way, they do say they provide an education, by the way. They do say that. I would love to see some video.
Well, as long as you don't take any courses that are too hard, it's going to take away from the real full-time job, which is playing basketball.
Or baseball.
And by the way, there are academic standards. I think there was the problem with Chris Evans, who was the football player for Michigan, academic problems. And I heard from an insider yesterday that Xavier, what's his last name, the Michigan point guard, Xavier
Simpson.
May have some academic issues that they're trying to work out right now. So they do. And by the way, it's funny because an old friend of mine was the tutor to the Fab Five, and I was joking about with Jimmy King yesterday. Who and you know the Fab Five, they passed, they studied, they did what they had to do. Anyway, the other 80-year-old, Jim Bouton, died. By the way, I'll remind you again, one of the great Netflix stories on baseball, if you like it, is called The Battered Bastards of Baseball. It's about a guy named Bing Russell, the father of Kurt Russell, who played on the team back at the Portland Mavericks in independent ball, and it's a great, but Bouton, when he was regenerating his career, because he had arm, he was a great pitcher early on, had arm problems, and came back as a knuckleballer, and he was part of that team back then, the Portland Mavericks. But anyway, Ball 4, a groundbreaking book in baseball, not the first tell-all, Jim Brosnan's Long Season, 1960.
But by the way, how dare you, saying that Seattle Pilots players kissed on the team bus? Yeah. The words of Bowie Kuhn to Jim Bouton after he wrote that in Ball 4.
Yeah, and he talked about Mantle's escapades of sneaking around on roofs to look at women changing.
See, that was
really embarrassing.
It doesn't sell 10 books if he doesn't write about Mickey Mantle on the roof of the Shoreham Hotel in Washington, D.C., looking into the rooms at night after the ball game so he could see people dress, undress, and do nasty things. That's the only reason the book sold.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's your favorite story. Here's my favorite story. To think that Clawson, Michigan's own former Michigan State University star and Major League Baseball all-star pitcher, Dick the Monster Raddatz.
Oh, my God.
Hired by a wealthy man in Boston to come up to his apartment. The guy threw 98 miles an hour and pitch oranges at the guy's naked butt while he's standing up against the wall over and over and over
Was that in Ball 4? I forget
that. That was in Ball 4. That was my favorite story.
Of course,
monster throwing oranges at a naked butt.
I don't know if you remember. I'm not sure if you remember. Well, we talked about this when I was getting all the cortisone shots at the end of my career and trying to stay in the big leagues. And I was getting a cortisone shot, it seemed like, every other hour. And this was in spring training in Oakland. And Charlie Finley called me and said, listen, we got the guru of gurus to give you an injection, and it'll be done well. And he's got a new chemical of some kind. He says it's going to make you better in 3 or 4 days, the inflammation, but all the stuff that goes with it. And lo and behold, I get up there, and I know we talked about it. It never made the book because the guy who I went up to see with the injector and the syringe and all the other garbage that was sitting at the table, the guy was gay, and I didn't know it. And the first thing he did, he said, you got to take your pants off. And I said, I got to what? He said, you got to take your pants off. I said, no, it's my arm. It's not my ass that hurts. It's my right arm. He said, oh, no, but this stuff will travel through your system. I said, really?
Jesus.
And you know what I did? I got my belt about half off, and I said, you know, this just doesn't feel
You're a
right.
homophobe, man.
Said, I'm out of here.
Well, that does sound a little weird. You got a pain in your arm, and the first thing the gay guy says is, take your pants off, please. What are you talking about, take my pants off?
And that's not a hit on all people out there that are gay. I mean, this was one of those moments that you had to be there.
Hey, the most prominent face in sports right now is gay. Megan Rapinoe. More on that later. Anyway, by the way, Bouton, in the 8 years between he got arm trouble and finally made it back as a knuckleball player during the 70s, in 1970, he became a sportscaster on WABC, which is where I went in New York, and his picture was on the wall with all the other ones that came and went. And trust me, there were a lot of them, including me.
Sure.
Anyway, I want to talk a lot about baseball.
By the way, a very, very nice man. Jimmy really was, and very
smart.
Was.
Yeah.
And, you know, for those of us who grew up, and Eli, you and I are two prime examples of this, hero worshiping, anybody who had a picture on a baseball card, mm-hmm. Jim Bouton's Ball 4 really blew the lid off the All-American game of baseball. And that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. It was okay. It's like finding out that there really was no Santa Claus. It was disappointing, but we went on.
And Bouton
cost him dearly. It cost him dearly.
And Bouton had a great line, by the way.
What?
He says amphetamine. He talked about amphetamines a lot in the book, too. And one of the things he said about the amphetamines was, I took amphetamines, and it helped me about 5%. Unfortunately, I needed 80.
Hey, corrective eye surgery is one of the great lifestyle improvements and breakthroughs of this century. In fact, LASIK is one of the safest surgeries in all of medicine. It's changed the lives of millions of people, allowing them to get 20/20 vision or better without the hassle and poor performance of glasses and contacts. Dr. Yaldo is the most experienced and honored eye surgeon in Michigan. 30,000 people, including me, have gotten a state-of-the-art custom LASIK procedure. Most have gotten better than 20/20 vision. I had 20/15 when I got it back in 2000. It's called super normal vision. Imagine that, seeing better without glasses and contacts than you ever did with them.
I wouldn't know.
As you get older and you're 45 plus and you can't read anymore, multifocal lens implants implants are the... By the way, I talked to Dr. Yaldo about you yesterday.
Did you really?
He did give you one a while ago. I'll set up an appointment for you. Monday after the show, we can go over there. You can get...
Rock and roll. Okay.
I don't have to, you don't have to interrupt any more of my reads for Yaldo by nudging me to bring you over there. If you can't do it on your own.
Now that Eli has spilled the beans... The listeners know you're going to be there. They know you're going. You can set up a little card table outside the office.
That's right.
And make some money signing some autographs, pictures and autographs while you're going to see
Well,
Dr.
I'll tell you what
Yaldo.
We'll do. Anybody who shows up at Dr. Yaldo's at what time? What time are we going to do this?
2 o'clock next Monday.
Anybody that shows up at 2 o'clock
free
at
baseball.
Dr. Yaldo's. Free baseball.
Free baseball.
Free baseball.
Anyway, you got nothing to lose by seeing Dr. Yaldo for a free evaluation. You should get an eye exam every 2 years anyway. Tell him no filter. Denny, Eli, Bob sent you. You'll get a $1,500 discount on any surgical procedure.
Wow.
1-800-398-EYES. That's 800-398-EYES. Or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com.
$1,500 discount. That means it's free then, right?
No, it's not free.
It's not free. Okay.
It's still a small charge.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Now for another Red Shovel Network sponsor, David Hall and the Great Hall Financial. If you're thinking about refinancing your home, Hall Financial would love to save you lots of money. You can email David at dhall@hallfg.com or call Hall Financial at 248-308-5000. Maybe it's your first home or your dream home. Maybe you want to take money out of your home. Give David Hall a chance and get lower rates, better options, and more personal service. He's got lower rates. The options are unbelievable. The industry average, by the way, for refis is 44 days, but Hall Financial average is only 19 days. Yep, 19 days. Take it from the customers. They now have over 800 five-star reviews. They will fight for you even if you've had a dent in your credit history or a crash. Email at dhall@hallfg.com. That's dhall@hallfg.com. Or call 248-308-5000 and tell them No Filter sent you along with Denny, Eli, and Bob.
Listen, I just got back from filling my coffee cup. I was away for 5 minutes. You're still in the David Hall read?
Yes, I would. I like David.
God.
I thought you got up from your seat and ran away as quickly as you did because you drank too much coffee.
That's what I thought, too.
So
I didn't know where to
go. You got some more coffee, huh?
I was going to ask if you needed toilet paper.
You're listening to the No Filter Sports Podcast. Anyway,
let's go to the All-Star game. Yeah. I want to talk about that, and I got some real problems with the All-Star game, unless you got something else. I watched 2 innings of the All-Star game on Tuesday night, and they wouldn't let me see the game. I turned it off in disgust. Fox's coverage was so brutal. They're interviewing all the players. At one point, they got 3 guys they're interviewing mic'd up in the field at the same time. And the shot of the game itself is reduced to the bottom of the screen. Mm-hmm. And, of course, these guys are out there playing, and a ball might get hit to them. And it does while they're being interviewed live on Fox. The whole thing, Freddie Freeman, he goes up to the plate. He's mic'd up to face JV, first hitter of the game. And he's laughing with JD. And JD's looking at him and laughing back. So
JV.
We hear him talking. He says,
JV. You're talking about Verlander, right?
JV. It's a JD. JV.
Yeah, Verlander. Okay. So Freddie Freeman says, hey, you know, are you going to tell me what you're going to throw me? He strikes out on 3 pitches. The
Four
last
pitches.
Was a beautiful curveball for called third strike. All 3 are called pitches. He's laughing at it as he's been embarrassed on national TV, walking back to the dugout. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, what was Denny McClain's attitude and the attitude of his fellow Major League Baseball stars when they played these All-Star games? Would somebody have been laughing after you struck out Willie Mays on called strikes in the 66 All-Star game? Was he laughing going back to the dugout?
No, Willie still doesn't talk to me, by the way.
I know that.
He's got a great memory, and that's a true story. He does not talk to me to this day.
What you're pointing out, Bob, and I'm glad you brought this up, the game has changed in many, many ways. We know that with the home run. I mean, the game that Ty Cobb played is not the game he played today.
High spikes are out.
Not the game he played in the 60s, not the game they played in the 40s. The game changes a lot. Same with the All-Star game. There used to be a lot of pride. They actually played the game to win because they had pride in the league. So a starter would play 9 innings and a pitcher would go 3 innings. They would have gone longer. They may have gone even longer. They made the three.
Okay. If it went extra innings, if it went extra innings because they had a shortage of pitchers all the time, then of course a guy could go an extra inning.
But they played the game to win because there was some pride. It became ridiculous when Bud Selig then said that the winner of the All-Star game gets home field advantage.
Ridiculous. Right.
So it is an exhibition game. And frankly, Bob, I understand what you're saying. I thought that that moment when Freddie Freeman came to the plate and he's talking to Joe Buck at the same time he's facing Justin Verlander, who didn't know, I thought it was very entertaining, extremely entertaining. And in fact, somebody was suggesting, I was watching PTI with Kornheiser and Stephen A. Smith. And so Kornheiser's point was, how cool would it be to have the guys on Mike all during regular
Mic'd
season
up
games?
All the time, yeah.
And of course, it's a ridiculous notion that Stephen A.
I
said,
want to watch the game.
Right, right. And the other thing is,
but Bob, this is an exhibition.
It's an exhibition.
Total exhibition.
You know, I knew you guys would bring this up, and I got the rejoinder to it. Think about this. Eli Zarrett grows up a big New York Mets fan. Denny McClain grows up a big Chicago Cubs fan. I grew up a Detroit Tigers fan, and do you know how angry I was? We were pissed. We could never beat the National League. We could never beat the National League. We took All-Star games real seriously when I was a kid growing up, and I don't like the fact that they don't take them seriously anymore, even though the AL is now 7-0 in the last seven. Yeah.
Well, I will tell you very quickly, my first All-Star game in St.
66.
Louis, 66. And I was a starting pitcher, and I pitched three perfect innings.
But that's awesome.
But that's not the story. The story is in the clubhouse before the game, and I'm sitting next to Freehand. And Freehand says, now listen, he said, I forget who the manager from Minnesota was, Sam Mealy. And Sam is having this clubhouse meeting. Hey, listen, we've got pride. We've got to go out there and give them the best show we can. This is not more a game than you want to believe it is. You guys have been here before. I know you guys lay down a little bit, but please pick it up. Let's really play. So now, as he said, now, has anybody got anything to say? So let's go get him. And I jump up and I say, hey, let's go. That's the only guy in a room that said, hey, let's go. Freehand said, hey, calm down. It's a game, but it's not the biggest game of our life. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I was the only guy in the room that made a gesture of any kind.
Everybody's watching. Now, and since you brought up your performances in All-Star games, you were in three. And in 1968, you pitched two shutout innings in the middle of the game. 1969, Denny McClain was supposed to start, but Mel Stottlemyre of the Yankees started. Why? Because Denny was back in Detroit getting heavy dental work done. He arrived late to the game. He got there in the third inning. They put Denny in the fourth inning. He only pitched one inning, gave up a home run to Willie McCovey.
One thing about McCovey. Right. They told me before I went out to pitch the inning, whatever you do, don't throw him a changeup. Listen, I had a great changeup. No one's going to tell me not to throw a changeup. This is Mayo telling me. I mean, he's my manager. How the hell can he tell me not to throw a changeup? And I never, ever threw a breaking ball or a changeup when I was ahead of a hitter. This is the only time in my major league career I ever did it. I got McCovey 0-2, two fastballs.
He hasn't landed yet.
Right? The damn thing went over the monuments, for God's sakes. And the ball was a foot and a half outside. He reached out and just hit it like I've never seen a ball hit before in my life.
That was not a good day for you.
Why didn't you play in 67, Denny? You weren't on the All-Star team in 67. Do you remember what happened? Because I don't remember offhand. Were you hurt or something?
I was in and out all year long. I had a bad my back was killing me that year. Yeah. I don't know what the hell it was.
Anyway, so you know, the home run thing is out of control. Some might argue. I did the math because they kept on showing it. The league is on pace for 6,668 homers. That'd be more than 500 more over the record of 6,105 set in 2017. I did my simple math. It's up over 9%. That's insane. No statistic goes up 9% unless there's something really, really weird going on. Just like it goes from 60 home runs to 73. Right. Something weird was going on.
And it was going on. Right. And it's going on again. I hate to tell you that, but there's nothing different with the ball. I don't care. Drag. Come on, Mr. Commissioner. There's no drag situation with the ball. There isn't a machine that touches the ball. It's all by human hands that stitches the ball. 108 stitches. Every stitch is by hand. They tried machines in the past. The machines don't work. They can't get any consistency.
That falls in line with what Rob Manfred said. Let's hear what he said, which is exactly that.
It's a handmade product with all natural materials. There's going to be variation in the baseball year to year. I mean, that's just a reality. There's a little less drag on the baseball this year. We're in the process of trying to figure out why and get a little bit better at managing.
So, yes, he says there's actually less drag on the ball. But so Verlander was interviewed during the All-Star game. And he kind of backed off on it because the owners claim we don't really want that. We didn't ask for that. That's not, Manfred said, that's not the sentiment among the owners.
That's what Manfred said, Eli. Manfred said that too. He now admits that the balls are juiced. Here's the rhetorical question I asked on a Twitter thing and on an email today. Do you really believe that any manufacturer of baseballs is going to deliberately juice the ball up without MLB knowing it?
Yeah, but since MLB bought the company last year, they own the company.
Guys, they're not juicing the balls.
Right.
They aren't. Honest to God, they're not juicing the balls.
That's what Manfred says. He admits they're juiced up.
No. He said, he said it's a handmade product and it differs from year to year. This guy, Dr. Meredith Wills, did it for The Athletic.
Right.
He said the new ball probably produces less drag in flight. The seams might be a little bit lower, maybe a couple of millimeters, or leather that is just slightly smoother. You stack several meaningless seeming changes. They add up, and it only takes 1%, 2%, or 3% to have it go the extra 5 or 10 feet that makes homer after homer.
Keep one thing in mind, okay? ERAs are higher than they've ever been in the history of baseball. That's number one. And number two, folks, I forgot what number two was. Number two is simple. The ballparks.
What you got for breakfast today?
The ballparks are smaller. All of the ballparks are smaller. They built them for home runs. In 1968, when allegedly the pitchers took over the game, the order from the commissioner's office, we need touchdowns. We don't want any 1-0 shutouts. We need touchdowns. Well, they got them, for God's sakes. They got all kinds of the 10-run games. Well, now they're embarrassed by it. But they should be embarrassed because somebody's taking the juice again. I don't know what it is, but boy, I'll tell you.
All right, listen to this now. Since Eli likes quotes especially, this is one from Verlander's news conference Monday at the All-Star game. He issued his strongest condemnation yet of the baseballs, calling them, quote, a bleeping joke. And he used the real word. He suggested at the news conference MLB is manipulating the balls to increase offense. Yes, 100%, he told ESPN on Monday. They've been using juiced baseballs in a home run derby forever. They know how to do it.
He says
it's a juiced baseball.
Verlander said it's not coincidence. We're not idiots. So, yes.
Well, Justin Verlander last year gave up 28 home runs. He's up already at 26 this year. That is not a juiced baseball. Those are called 26 bad pitches.
What's the all-time Major League Baseball record? Brandon, I know what this is, so don't chime in.
For how many home runs in a season?
The all-time Major League Baseball record for most home runs given up in a season by a pitcher.
I will take a guess. I gave up 40 one year.
I'm going to guess it's no more than 50.
Exactly what it is, Bert Blyleven.
50?
And they also have, if you look this stuff up on baseballreference.com, the number of times pitchers led the league in giving up home runs. Robin Roberts, the great Hall of Famer from Michigan State, did it 4 times, and Dennis Dale McLean did it 3 times himself. So if you're like you guys, like JV, like Danny McLean and Roberts in their primes, if you're throwing hard, like Jack Morris, you're giving up home runs.
But
these balls are out of control.
Now, is it the juiced ball or – as Victor Conti, he was the Balco guy helped bring Barry Bonds down, says, quote, these guys are using these drugs really as many or more than ever before, he told USA Today. The difference is these guys not only understand how and when to take it, but what dosage, what delivery level, and not test positive. Hey, good news travels fast. So, and you know what? What'd you say earlier about the fans and the juicers?
They don't care.
They don't give a damn.
They don't care.
Now, did you see this other quote that made some news? In fact, it was a big story in the New York Times from JV, what he said. I don't know if you guys know about this.
Right.
He says the secret to his success, his new success in Houston, we've been talking about changing his release point and so on.
Yes.
He says it's sleep. Said Verlander decided that he was going to take it upon himself to sleep. Are you ready for this? 10 to 12 hours every night.
Wow.
And he's telling everybody who will listen. He told Lance Berkman, and Lance Berkman said, well, I'm not sleeping at 10 to 12 hours a night. So then Berkman said, okay, I'll try it. And Berkman says that's the reason his power, his home run numbers are way up. He's sleeping 10 to 12 hours a night. Now, I would just say parenthetically here, fellas, if I were going to bed every night with Kate Upton, I don't think I'd be sleeping those 10 hours. That's all I have to say.
One other quickie. Speaking of Kate Upton.
Don't get off the homers yet because I got something else to say about that.
But I was going to. Go ahead.
Have either of you guys heard of Robert Van Skoyak?
No, sounds like a piano player.
He was a famous Dutch artist of the 16th century.
No, he is the he is the batting coach for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Never got past high school baseball. Hit 314 his senior year.
And everybody's hitting 300 over there in L.A.
He's one of the guys, right? He's one of the guys that in 2013 taught J.D. Martinez how to hit better through analytics, through video. So the hitters are better. It's also, we haven't mentioned the launch angles, the way they try and hit fly balls. Why? Because it pays off in home runs. Home runs equal dollars. They equal dollars for the owners and for the players too. And so that's why there's fewer ground balls. So I said the game is different. Wee Willie Keeler hit it on the ground, hit it on the ground pass,
like
guys. They don't hit the ball on the ground anymore because it's proven through analytics that X amount of ground balls are going to go for outs and X amount of fly balls aren't.
JD, though, you got to remember this. Despite the success that he had, he got released.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the Tigers
picked him up. That was
by Houston. That's exactly right. So my point is, if this guy made him such a great hitter,
It wasn't. 2013 is when JD started to hit better, and the Tigers took a chance on him, and he had
been released then.
Yeah.
And then Detroit picked him up.
But then he studied. He went to Skyrock or whatever the hell his name is, Skoyak, and became a better hitter. And this guy, Chris Taylor on the Dodgers now also credits this 32-year-old batting coach, the youngest in the major leagues, because this is the science of the game has changed.
I want to keep on this, Eli. You're making a real good point about this.
I want to
go back to Alex Bregman at the All-Star game. He told the media, and I quote, "If I wanted to hit 300, I'd hit 300.
Sure.
It's an OPS game now.
Yep.
It's about driving the baseball and getting on base, walks, and extra base hits. If it turned into an average game, I'd get the ball out of the air and hit line drives and hit 330. We hitters, all we care about now is OPS.
There you go. That's the new stat. Anyway,
it's also called talent. If you don't have the talent to play the game, you're still going to hit 200. And if you don't believe that, just take a look at our lineup with the Detroit Tigers right now.
We want to get into this union issue with baseball.
We're getting there.
And it's got to do with how many players there are in the game, how players are getting paid. But first, I want to remind you, okay?
Yes, sir, please.
That there's a pair of groundbreaking SUVs at Star Lincoln that people should really check out. In fact, debuting this month is Aviator, the luxury midsize SUV. It's got 7-passenger seating, incredible styling. I love those big, large, touch screens, LED-lit environment. It's very comfortable, and it's very convenient. The technology, lane-keeping system, etc., pre-collision assist, best in class. I got the Nautilus. Little bit smaller, great car though, groundbreaking crossover with more safety and comfort features, adaptive cruise control, and it's got it's called Copilot 360, so if somebody's coming to hit me, it tells me get the hell out of the way and does it for me.
What kind of mileage?
Good mileage, low 20s, it's fine. Anyway, Rebel Audio is great in terms of comfort, multiple settings, it's just a great audio system.
What kind of mileage? You think a guy like Eli Zerit asks, I wonder what kind of mileage I get. If you got to ask the mileage or how much it costs to fill up the tank,
for about 10 years I live with him. I know what questions he asks.
And maybe the biggest comfort is Star's effortless ownership experience. Order Nautilus or any Lincoln online at starlincoln.com. Rolling and pick it up. The Star treatment's never been better than a Hoot McInerney Star Lincoln, a 12 and Telegraph in Southfield. And our other Big Red Shovel sponsor, Denny's favorite wealth manager, that would be Luke Nowacki at 248-663-4748. Pinnacle Wealth Management sponsors all the shows in the Red Shovel Network. You prepared if you're confronted with sudden life change? Call Luke. Have that discussion about how to protect your family when life happens. Talk about your retirement path and whether you're on the right one. We all wish. I was fortunate. I ran into a guy like that early on in TV. I saved a lot of money, and he was right, because otherwise I would have spent it all and I would have wound up
broke. I ran into a guy like that, too. His name was Ed May.
Yeah, Ed May took all your money. Anyway, Luke is the guy to get with no matter what your age is. Start saving, understand your priorities, and avoid life calamities. Pinnacle Wealth Management, call 248-663-4748. That's Luke Nowacki, big supporter of our show, great Red Shovel sponsor. And
we got to take our guys to lunch.
We really should.
Really should. Absolutely.
Okay. Anyway,
Eli, isn't there something you want to say right
yes,
now?
Yes. You are listening to the No Filter Sports Podcast.
Aha. Now there's something I want to say. You're talking about the game of baseball changing. Listen to this. And I've been talking about this for the last 15 years, and I've been predicting this, and so have other people. The Independent Atlantic League became the first American professional baseball league to let a computer call balls and strikes. This is just Wednesday night.
Yep.
All-star game. The plate umpire wore an earpiece connected to an iPhone and got calls from the computer. Now, they had a couple of glitches in it, but they're going to iron all that stuff out, and they're going to implement this league-wide over the next couple of weeks for the rest of the season. There will be no more umpires in Major League Baseball within the next 10 to 20 years.
Your prediction?
They'll always have umpires in one form or another. Let me say this to you.
The umpire still called the balls and strikes. They just told him what it was. And he has to be there in case there's a glitch in the machine.
The computer says strike, and the umpire goes strike. He parrots it.
He still has to be there for plays at the plate. Okay,
but the computer's going to take care of that too.
Well, I don't think
they
will. I don't think that's going to happen.
Going to make a calls on the bases too?
Yes,
of course. I guess so.
Guys, you know what? Everything happens on the bases at a particular area.
Yeah, you know what?
You've got computer shots now. We use them on replays. That's in the future, there won't be any umpires.
I disagree with that.
I'm telling you, I disagree with that. Number one, number two, the umpires are a part of the game. They are as much as the baseball is. The umpires have been in the past have been very theatrical. They've been funny. They've been entertaining.
I know.
So let's not lose all of that for the game.
They're part of the game the way starting pitchers used to be part of the game.
Boys, the game is changing.
Yes,
it is, but you
cannot take our game to any more, much more tech than what they've done so far. Now, listen, one other thing when we're talking about all these changes. You know the old stories. How many ways can you steal bases? Well, now you can steal first base in the league, in this league where the testing is going on.
Is the what's called the Atlantic
League? Same league we're talking about.
It's an independent league with an agreement with Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball is behind this because
he set this up already.
Yeah, right? No, I'm saying what they're doing is they are doing this robot thing is under the auspices of Major League Baseball. It's an experimental.
Now listen,
and this one is fascinating. I said
this is unbelievable.
This is amazing. Listen to this.
This you can steal first base with this test on any ball dropped by the catcher. Any ball or strike, a runner can attempt to steal first base. The rule is going to drastically alter the game if it is adopted by MLB.
That sucks. That's stupid.
Let him finish. It's not that bad an idea. You'll hear why.
Players like Billy Hamilton, who can fly,
sure can,
might suddenly gain extra value. All of a sudden, if the ball gets away, he can easily make it to first base. Given his speed, hell, he could wind up at second base.
You're changing the nature of the game.
But let me finish.
It's already happened with home runs, Bob. It's already done.
No, it isn't. Ruth hit 60 in 1 year. Come on,
let me tell you what else it does for the hitters. You're going to see more fastballs. Because pitchers, if you start throwing a lot of curveballs, it slows the ball down. It doesn't give the catcher enough time to throw somebody out at second base or first base, whatever it might be. But players like Hamilton might see fewer broken, as I said. But the fastballs and sinkers are going to be the way the game is going to be played in the future. If this thing goes through.
It never will go through.
I can't hardly believe they would adopt this. But I'll tell you, it's interesting as hell because they're going to start evaluating it this year.
But you may be right, Bob, but don't blame them for trying. Don't blame them for
I just think that changes the very nature of baseball.
Well, here's the problem with baseball right now.
You're right. Any pitch and you can run to first base?
Here's the problem.
You're right.
This is the problem with all these new rules. Manfred, the commissioner, can unilaterally implement any of the rules as he sees fit. He doesn't need the Players Association anymore. He doesn't need the owners, technically, although he works for the owners. He doesn't need anybody's permission to implement any of these rules. That's what's wrong with it. The players wouldn't go for half of this stuff. I'm telling you, they wouldn't. Most of the players would like, listen, if you're successful in today's game, don't touch it. Stay with what you got. Keep hitting the ball. Keep throwing the ball. But I just think this has gone way over the top.
Yeah, it really has. And speaking of the rules of baseball, our own John Smoltz drove me nuts the other night. And I've talked about this before. You learn as an umpire, the last people who know anything about the rules are the players. They had a banger at first base. They had a real bang-bang play at first base.
They're
looking at the replay. It's so close. Smoltz says, and I quote, "A tie goes to the runner."
Right.
No, it doesn't. There's nothing in the rule book about that.
But a lot of guys don't know that. That's a great rules question.
Who does it go to?
it goes to whatever the umpire calls.
That's right.
He's out or he's safe.
Meanwhile, another little note here, that the White Sox are going to extend the netting before their next home game on July 22nd to go all the way to the foul pole. The Dodgers are going to extend it, too. So what happens? Here's what happens in baseball.
It's a terrible rule.
When a fan gets hit beyond the netting, they extend a little bit longer. Then another fan gets hit beyond that, they extend a little bit longer. So they wait till somebody gets smashed in the eye until they extend the netting.
Have the entire ballpark covered in netting.
Yeah.
Well,
they do that in Japan, even in the outfield.
I know, but we're not in Japan.
You're right.
Right.
Thank God for
have
that.
You guys done with baseball? Because we have a couple of disgraceful
things.
Hell
no. So much
we got so much more
yet
to go.
Biggest one we're saving for last.
Listen, the union issue is very, very big.
I guess we're doing it now.
these players are saying they're ready to go on strike, even though the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, doesn't expire till December 1st, 2021. That's 2.5 years from now.
And the players have already announced, even if it takes a work stoppage before the CBA expires, they are going on strike. Folks, nothing could be dumber, more insane than to do what they did a number of years ago, go out on strike. How much more do you need? Mm-hmm. How many more good things can happen to you in your lifetime? You're a Major League Baseball player. They carry your bags. They do your laundry. They pick up everything that you throw on the floor. You don't wear the same pair of shoes for longer than a week or two or three. What the hell is going on? I don't understand why they need more and more and more. Isn't $5.2 million a year an average salary? Isn't that enough?
What they're trying to do, which isn't wrong, is to try and make it so that when you're a young player, you can get paid. What happens now? And
they
by
do
the
get
way,
paid.
Well, they get $550,000 a year. I know. But look at
how can you, people listening to us right now? I feel so sorry for them. I mean, how can you possibly live on $550,000 a year?
That's not the point. You know,
that's not the point.
Wait, Bob, that is so. That's so Neanderthal.
It's called reality.
You know
it's
what? They said that back in 1976 before free agency. They're making $100,000 a year. What do they got to complain about? I only make $20,000 a year. Come on.
Listen, when I went to about $100,000, I got ripped in the papers up here by the writers. I was making too much money because I was only 25 or 26 years old. I mean, you talked about getting ripped. I was ready to kill Joe Falls.
Guess what? You weren't bitching about it, were you, Danny? You weren't bitching about making 125. For these clowns to be bitching about anybody, any 21-year-old kid making $550,000 a year, I don't like it either, Danny.
What the public has to understand, too, this $550,000 they make the very first day they're in the major leagues. They're guaranteed $550,000 the first time they put that uniform on.
Listen, I'm not going to argue with any of that. They're all very well paid, relatively speaking.
Yes.
Point is, they figure it out. And by the way, there's many more players in the game today than there used to be. Last year, the player pool was 1,379 players, sixth straight year of increase. So what they've done through R&D, through strength and conditioning, through mental health and nutrition advisement in the minor leagues. They're getting players ready for the major leagues at a younger age when they can control their salary. So now there's no need for the Jose Iglesias, who you've criticized many times, the Tigers, because he's a veteran player. He was due for free agency, and they're getting such a good job scientifically of developing young players that they don't need that veteran anymore. So all they're trying to do is say they're not asking for more money. They're saying, let's see if we can get the money to younger players when they're really providing value, then later in life, now they're pushing them out of the game and they're not getting paid in the back end.
Let me tell you where this is going to wind up. And this is going to be wrong, too, although they probably need to make a little bit more. The kids in the minor leagues may wind up getting the benefit of this new CBA. They may wind up in it somewhere in paragraph 300 or 350. They will wind up getting a minimum salary in the minor leagues. Watch. It's going to happen. I don't know if it's this year or next year, but it's coming. You can see it coming. Because
you guys remember, Danny, you guys remember one of the very early shows we did, I told the story of going to Yankee Stadium on an amazingly beautiful spring day a number of years ago. And I went to – Tigers were playing New York. Tigers were really good, and the Yankees were the Yankees. What a great day for baseball. Yeah. I go down to the broadcast booth just to say hello to George Kell and K-Line. I'm talking with George. There were about 5,000 people in the stands that day. Kell turns to me and he says, Bob, you will never see another baseball strike in your lifetime, because it was coming off the strike year.
That's right.
And people were pissed. No World Series. And the most perfect day for baseball you've ever seen, the Tigers and Yankees, 5,000 people show up. I can't wait to see what happens if these guys go on strike again.
Ask me if the players have a beef with this, okay? They feel the owners are content with low payroll, losing teams. By the way, we have one right here in Detroit.
No, we don't.
Okay. They still make money through revenue sharing
and broadcast rights.
A record 8 teams lost 95 or more games last year. Attendance is down for 17 of the 30 teams this year. So the players are also saying, why do teams abdicate trying to win? And so there are issues. It may not even come down to more money. It's coming down to how we get paid when, and they're just trying to. So I'm going to take the player's side on this. I think when you got guys like Josh Bell saying it's about equality or equal rights, that's pushing it a little too far.
Way over the top.
It's pushing too far. But these the players are unified in this. J.D. Martinez,
a couple things. Eli, first of all, we should get a little some credit, because a lot of that stuff comes from an excellent article in the New York Times this week about this. But I would say this. Let's just apply this to the Detroit Tigers in this case, okay? You look at the Ilitch family, multi-gazillionaires from their pizza business, and, of course, they own the Wings and the whole District of Detroit thing. Do you really think they need any more money? Do you really think that, we can make more money if we keep a bad ball club? Let's do that. They don't need any more money.
Bob,
I don't believe that's what's happening. The players are charging. The owners are deliberately keeping rosters low.
No, I do not believe that they purposely tried to make this happen, what's happened this year. I don't think they did. But they didn't tell us the truth to begin with by telling us they were going to cut back all the salaries, they were getting rid of the big-time money, and they were going to start over. Had they started with that premise, you would have people still going to the ballpark, I believe. But nobody wants to go there. I've never heard so many MFs in my life is what I hear. And I was at a great, big, wonderful fundraiser last night for Make-A-Wish. And if not one person, it had to be all 300
saying,
or 400
saying what?
People calling the Tigers MF all night long.
Yeah.
Those da-da-da cheap, da-da-da. Yeah. And, man, it was one after another. And, and all I can do is stand up there and do what I was doing with the auction and what have you and say, listen, everything is in cycles. It will change. In 2 or 3 years, it's going to change. Well, we're not going back till it changes. And
I think a lot of people are going to drop their season tickets.
Right. Hey, I got a great idea.
But by the way,
even though he's not up till next year, why don't we just renew Al Avila's contract right now? Isn't that a great idea?
Yeah, great idea.
Good public relations move.
Oh, boy, that's one I'll never understand. Well, but it's not my money. I don't care.
Well, like I said, he's pleasing Chris Ilitch, and that's
all he's got to do.
Real quick, because we got to take a break.
All-star attendance.
We got to take a break in two. Go ahead.
All-star attendance is way down. And the reason why they say it's down, you're not going to believe this, is because Harper and Machado did not play. They did not make an appearance in the ballgame. I find that hard to believe that with Harper and Machado gone, that Macarena.
Starts singing.
Hey, by the way, those two, in case we don't get to it shortly, especially for our radio listeners, those two disgraceful stories involve the University of Detroit and Michigan State University. So I'll tease those right now.
Yeah, I also want to talk about, the panel. There's an article that you sent to me, Bob, that John Gallagher in the Free Press was saying it's a waste of money that the Palace is or it's wasteful that the Palace is being knocked down. I want to tell you why I think it's long overdue that the Palace gets knocked down. But anyway.
Why is it long overdue?
Because it was actually, and it's a nice place.
It is.
It was beyond its usefulness 5 years after it was built because they didn't allow enough space for entertainment. The suites are way in the back for the high end people. They can't see the game from there. The United Center was built 5 years later in 1993, had double the banquet space. So the Palace was cramped even though the interior of the arena was nice.
Yeah.
It was cramped for space for years and years. There was no room for production trucks in there. I used to freeze my ass off going to the truck outside in February. So there's reason that although the Palace was ahead of its time, it had really become an outdated, antiquated arena. And unless you have enough events there every year. There's no justification. It's like you turn it into a shopping center.
So
you
know,
giving an office building is a big empty space. You have to have events. Otherwise, it's useless.
So do you know something that they're going to build a shopping center out there?
They're going to sell industrial space for all the automobiles.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Anyway, we got to say goodbye to our radio listeners, by the way.
This is a podcast, folks. If you're tuning in late on the radio.
And you didn't get
website.
To the mailbag. You ignored the mailbag today.
We got to do that still.
And the mailbag said we haven't mentioned the names of the stations that we're on. We're on WCWA in Toledo and WDFN in Detroit. Anyway, you are listening to the No Filter. You have been listening to the No Filter Sports Podcast. Okay, now we continue on with our loyal podcast listeners.
And our mailbag.
Go ahead, Bob. Mailbag.
Oh, I got to go to the mail. I got so many stories in front of me here. Well, first of all, as you can imagine, it's not going to surprise you that so much of the mail this week and the calls and the emails were about the Dick Vitale interview. And you mentioned one in particular, Eli. Dale Philhart is his name. And he's the guy who says, I'm 50 years old watching Dick Vitale for years. For the life of me, I had no idea about his eyes. Wow. All I can say is what a great interview with Dick. Keep up the good work, fellas. Love the band. Enter among the three of you. Now, listen to this. You get your shots in, but yet laugh it off after. I wish more people in today's world could do the same. The meaning of acting like an adult. And so many other people wrote in to compliment us on the interview, and I appreciate that. I think there was another one that was from one of our regular show listeners, Tom Pirelli, Denny's biggest fan. He says, congrats on landing the great Dickie V as a guest on your show. Perhaps the only guest, think about this, that could actually raise the average age of your guests to host the show. About that. You got one, Eli? I got one if you don't.
Let me see.
All right.
Well,
let's go to Dave from Pinckney. And for those of you not listening in
go
Michigan,
to Dave
that's
from
a
Pinckney.
Small town between Detroit and Lansing.
This is a long one. I bet you're going to edit this one, aren't you? Go ahead.
Yeah. He says, you guys are great. What a great show. But what he wants to talk about, Denny, is the way you have rightly criticize people for having kids throw curveballs. He says that because of that, he saw an article that says 50% of all Tommy John surgery is done on kids as young as 15. They're just boys who are having to have this Tommy John surgery now.
Terrible. Terrible.
Yeah, I think it's almost like a rite of passage as you grow up as a pitcher is you get the Tommy John surgery.
When I hear these fathers and mothers wanting to give them the kid the Tommy John surgery, it just blows me away. It just isn't right. It isn't timely. What they don't understand, they got to let these kids develop some strength before they start doing things with their arms and their backs, whatever else they're going to do. They are way ahead of the curve. They don't help anybody. By the way, folks, you may not know this, but about 60% of the Tommy John stuff doesn't work. It doesn't work. So you got a 40% chance of it working on somebody for a good resolution. It just
really? Because so many guys get 40, it?
Absolutely. Absolutely they get it. Tommy John, of course, was the first guy to get it. Now, there were others, by the way, who got the Tommy John before Tommy John. Now, they weren't Major League Baseball players. They were other people that were a part of that program, the testing that was going on at the time. I mean, Lord knows I wish the hell that I played 10 years later.
Well, yeah, for you, it would have been arthroscopic surgery to get rid of that
torn rotator cuff. But the bottom line is the Tommy John thing, please listen. Please don't throw your child under a...
Oh, stop that.
That's
not like Jimmy Price.
Kidding.
Hey, you kids out there.
I'm kidding.
As if there's kids listening to the
broadcast. But it is the kids. It is the kids.
Yeah. You're talking to the dads. Dads, don't let them throw curveballs.
No curveballs, no sliders. Change-ups, fastballs. Boy, it's a great game if you can throw strikes with those two pitches.
You're looking at your sheet there. What do you got?
I want to get in here because it leads me to a subject I also want to broach with you listeners. Brian Drake writes that he loved MC Hammer's story on a recent podcast. Unbelievably, Mrs. Fields of Cookies fame was a ball girl for the Oakland Athletics. Did you know that, Denny? You were in the Athletics back in the early 70s.
Now there's some useless trivia. Go ahead.
It's kind of interesting, I thought. Mrs. Fields Cookies.
My God. I'm going to think about that all day long.
All right, but the point is this, the bigger point is this, that for you folks who are new to the show, if you go to our website, every show we've ever done, which is more than 50, is available on our website, and we have evergreen titles at the top. So when you see something that interests you, if you didn't hear the show, you can download it. And if you're up at 4 in the morning with nothing to do, you can listen to it then. Or
these people know this. These people know this. They're podcast savvy, Bob. They're not like us, the three Neanderthals who knew nothing about this until 6 months ago.
Well, one of the guys, we had a nice listener from Toledo writing, and he said he's trying to get his buddy, he's an older guy, trying to get his buddy to listen to our podcast, but the guy's entrenched in radio. He's just not used to podcasts. Yeah, yeah. So I'm telling you that not all of our listeners are big podcast freaks. They're learning about podcasts.
Well, if they're listening to it, then they're learning about podcasts.
Well, they may be just learning about it now.
Anyway, so here's what I want to say about the we haven't talked about the number one team and story in the world of sports, which is the Women's World Cup team.
That's right.
And beyond the fact that they win, the fact that they are fighting for women, quote-unquote fighting for women, especially wage equality, is a very serious issue in America among 50% of the population, which is women, that they don't get paid as much as men. And some men are coming over to their side in respect, including that philosopher of all time that we all have such deep and abiding respect for, and we've been a fan of his for decades, is, of course, the great Snoop Dogg. Here's what he had to say.
They only get $90,000 per player, but the men, if they win it, they get $500,000 per player. The sorry-ass men from the U.S. soccer team ain't ever won, ain't gonna ever win, can't even get out the first round. Man, pay them ladies, man. Pay them girls what they're worth. The women should be getting $500,000 per athlete. Snoop Dogg says so.
Do you believe that Zaret actually put a comment from that clown on our show?
No.
Snoopy Doggy Doggy or whatever the hell his name
he's
is.
He's one of the few rappers I really like, and he's old school. But
one
thing about the girls with the soccer team, the day of the big parade in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I did not go.
Why didn't you go?
Why didn't you go?
I didn't have any interest in it.
Oh, okay.
I have to get out of my apartment and take the subway 15-20 minutes.
You went to the gay pride.
One hour.
You went to the gay. Oh, sorry. You have to walk your dog to the gay pride.
That's right.
That's right.
One hour.
I have a gay dog. So what? You got a problem with that? Now, you know, we're talking about what these girls have done for womanhood, for equality. World Cup champions get Sports Illustrated swimsuit showcase. So they have that one gorgeous girl, Alex Morgan, and then they have Megan Rapinoe, and they're posing in the almost, you know, nothing there, skimpy little bikinis, showing off their hot little bods in Sports Illustrated, a blow for women's rights. And then they had the ESPY Awards, I think it was Wednesday night, and Megan Rapinoe had a nip slip, as they say. Now the question is, was it a Janet Jackson one, deliberate for publicity?
Oh, I didn't see
Maybe
that.
She's marketing herself. That's why she had a
maybe
nip
so.
Well, it's all marketing, Bob. It's all marketing. One thing, though, I want to add, just one thing. Before the parade, 1 hour before the parade, they were getting poopy-faced.
Yeah.
And they were all swimming in one of the tallest buildings in the city of Manhattan.
They were just having a party.
They were having a party at 8:30 in the morning.
See, here we are again.
Sipping a little libation.
Men, we are men, and we judge them on a different basis. I want you to know all the they're ripped by Mushnick and everybody else for their grandstanding.
Don't want me to
men
finish.
Do this all the time. The things that men get away with, they can't get away with. And by
I didn't
the way,
say they couldn't get away with it.
Okay,
I got seven granddaughters. Let's keep that in mind. Megan Rapinoe was seen dancing poolside. Listen to this now, dancing poolside along with Ashlyn Harris and Crystal Dunn.
Yeah,
and here's the best part of this: with a clear view of the One World Trade Center. That a nice picture?
I mean, I don't have any problem with that.
I don't either. It's the reason I brought it up.
No,
they're having fun.
I'm sure a lot of conservatives are going to get angry at me for being whatever you want to call it.
What? What are you?
But rich men run FIFA and run U.S. soccer.
Absolutely.
They make a lot of money. The point is the women play, and this is what Megan says. It isn't just the money, even though they're much more successful and get paid a lot less than the men. It's working conditions. They're playing AstroTurf fields instead of grass fields. They have less training. They are given not the same quality food. All types of comfort, same hotels. The men are just treated much better. So, you know, you can say it's a bunch of uppity women, a bunch of, you know, gay women making demands, and they should just shut up and play soccer.
I agree.
There's a lot.
I agree their time has come.
Okay.
I don't think – let's see what happens now. I think we're well beyond the time has come now. Now it's time to put up or shut up.
It'll be very interesting to see how it plays out because there's this mediation coming up, and we'll see. And by the way – One of the guys ripping the men said their male counterparts who play a dispiriting, dreary brand of soccer lost to Mexico in the Gold Cup final on Sunday, you know, aren't nearly as fun to watch. I enjoyed watching.
And they aren't. I like watching them play a little bit, but the girls are a lot more fun to watch.
By the way, the final drew more than 14 million viewers on Fox, making the most watched soccer event in the U.S. Well, that's no surprise. And what isn't fair also is saying, according to Fox, that the match drew 22% more than the men's World Cup final. But the problem is the U.S. wasn't in that final. It was France and Croatia last year.
But, Eli, don't forget about this. That match was played at 11 o'clock in the morning Eastern time.
Yeah.
I mean, the Super Bowl is played on a weekend night at 6 o'clock.
Right.
So those numbers would have been a lot bigger had they played it at a decent time.
Again, though, and there's also a women's professional soccer league now that's ongoing that nobody watches. But so
I never heard of it until the World Cup Soccer.
So once every 4 years, again, we like women's soccer. We like women's gymnastics. I don't know what Simone Biles has been up to the last 2 years since the Olympics, but nobody cares until she comes back again. Point is, the women have a point to make. They're right, and I think they're going to win this arbitration.
By the way, just to keep in line with Megan, Megan's pal, Colin Kaepernick, has just turned down another offer from the football league that Vince McMahon is running, you know?
Oh, the XFL, yeah.
He says, I will play. I'll be their star. I only want $20 million a year.
Well, that's because he doesn't really want to do it.
He doesn't want to play because he knows he's getting a score anyway.
I think actually
you know that, right? So he's going to get a big score eventually anyway.
Well, he did. There was a settlement.
They banned him. Yeah.
There was a settlement, but I think it's $6 or $8 million.
Oh, it's more than that.
Speaking of football, another abject humiliation for my alma mater. Did you guys see the videotape yet of Malik McDowell, the former Michigan State defensive
run-in
with suburban Detroit police?
It was terrible.
Just unbelievable. And, of course, it's gone viral all over the country. And I've said it here before. I know he's trying to compete against Michigan and Notre Dame and Ohio State, and it's so hard. But Mark D'Antonio has taken some kids into that program over the years who were not good kids and had no business being there. You remember what happened to McDowell? He decided he wanted to go to Michigan State, and Mama stepped in and said, you ain't going to no Michigan State. They had a brouhaha over this. She refused to let him sign, and then something happened, and she did let him sign.
Yeah.
He's been a bust in the NFL. It's just embarrassing. And then did you see this story about the University of Detroit? I refuse to call it Detroit Mercy. So about the University of Detroit, Tariq Jones is now suing them and ex-head coach Bakari Alexander, the former Michigan assistant, because Alexander, now it can be told, treated him in such a way at the end of a practice in 2017 that resulted in the kid leaving the team. What did Alexander say, which only now is being first reported? He was so pissed off at this kid, Tariq Jones, he made a simple statement. He turned to him and said, screamed at him at the practice, pointing to his nether regions, suck my... And he said whatever word you would like to put right there for suck my. Did these people who stonewall, did the University of Detroit really think they were going to get away with this with nobody ever finding out the mysterious suspension about Bakari Alexander? You remember that?
Yes,
when
they
suspended the guy 2 or 3 weeks. What was he suspended for? Well, it's an internal matter. It's an internal matter. We're not going to comment on that. Come on.
So,
you suspended your head basketball
coach? What they should have said was – In a moment of rage that he now regrets, he said something to a player that was out of line.
That would have been an easy way
to explain it. But you know what? It's amazing how bad PR departments are
in many
organizations.
Yeah,
it really is.
Including
the one at down at Comerica Park that let the whole District Detroit thing.
Hell, they fired everybody down there, God's sakes.
I think before we go,
since I mentioned basketball, I had so much stuff.
Well, okay.
We haven't even addressed Kawhi.
Bob, we're going to do another show Monday.
That'll be old news by then.
It will be old news by then. Then
and
let's do it.
It depends on how you position it, Bob. It's old news only if you don't position it right.
The problem in the NBA, if you want to call, actually, I think it's great for competitive balance. So here's what happens. So Kawhi Leonard wants to go to L.A., and he wants to play in a team that can beat the Lakers and win L.A. So he says, I will come to you, Clippers, and I will sign this contract, but you got to get me somebody great like Paul George.
Right.
So what happens now, and this is the general managers know this, that they can't handle a disgruntled player.
Right.
So now they got to trade George. Now the Clippers, because they want to get Kawhi Leonard, have to make a ridiculous offer to where did he come from? Was it Houston? Oklahoma City to get Paul George, an incredible offer of 5 number one draft choices. But they do it, so it benefits Oklahoma. They get the draft picks, and it benefits the Clippers because now they can maybe win a championship and dominate. They got a Hall of Fame coach in Doc Rivers. They got the richest owner in all the sports in Steve Ballmer. Now they got Kawhi Leonard, the number one player in the NBA.
But Eli,
they get Paul George.
There's a new story on this that came out Thursday morning,
and he only signed a 2-year contract.
He only signed a 3-year contract.
Right, 2 years
he
with
and
his
George are going to be free agents together, so they can get the hell out of there in 3 years.
And so,
a Hall of Fame coach, by the way, is only a Hall of Fame coach if he wins.
Well, Doc Rivers is going to be a Hall of Fame coach. But, you know, the point is these players are limited, even though it's a ton of money and how much they can make. So it's $35, $40, $45 million.
Do you care at $35 million?
No, so the point is it's about winning championships. And LeBron did this. LeBron did it when he left Cleveland to go to Miami. He said, we can control this game. We have the leverage and the power.
He leads
and LeBron
the parade.
Showed him the way.
Yep.
He's got a brilliant agent, this Rich Paul guy, The owners have no choice but to go. What was what this one coach said? Oh, Oklahoma City Mayor, Mayor David Holt, tweeting the farewell to George. I suppose we all have to get used to the NBA reality that the stars are free agents even when they're not.
Yep.
And so Durant is going to go to the Nets. And he says, I'll go if you get me Kyrie Irving, my buddy. And they get Kyrie Irving. So they're able to do this because one or two players can win a championship for you. And since they're not motivated by the money anymore, because it's all there and they're all as rich as they can ever be, they want to play with each other. And they want to win championships.
But I hate to keep using the analogy of my childhood hero and Denny's ex-teammate Al Kaline. But when I was a boy growing up, if somebody had said, first of all, that Kaline is now leaving the Tigers to get $100,000 from the Yankees as a free agent, I don't know that I would have felt the same way about baseball.
Perfect.
If now they come to me and they say, Kaline's going to be with the Tigers, but only for 3 years, then his contract's up and he's going someplace else. How do you become emotionally invested as a fan?
That's a great question. They do.
With what's going on,
you know,
now,
what?
With all this free
they
agent
become
movement.
Emotionally invested to win when they get that player. Yeah. And then they what happens to the Tigers. They say, okay, call me when it's over. Call me when we're competitive again. I'm going to spend my time doing something else. And then they come back. So fans are very, that's why they call them fanatics. They're very mercurial. They come and they go. They get happy. They get sad. And that's just the nature of it. But, you know, it's kind of interesting for the game. That battle of L.A. is going to be fascinating.
Yes, it is.
With the Lakers in the
because you
building.
Saw that the Lakers signed Boogie Cousins. That didn't get anywhere nearly as much publicity. And that means two things. I was shocked that he didn't stay with the Warriors because the Warriors haven't had a legit center all the time they've been winning. And this guy's a legit center.
Right.
And he goes to L.A. He's going to play with Anthony Davis. You got Bron out there on the court. What opposing team is going to be able to get one rebound?
Right. You're right.
You got Cousins and you got Davis in the same front line and Bron.
It's going to be fascinating. And now, before we go, a question I was asked the other day by a young guy came up to me and he said, what do you think? Should we get Russell Westbrook? Can we do it? And I said, you know, this is going to be a very interesting situation. The Pistons could really use Russell Westbrook. He has an incredibly dangerous contract. He's going to make $47 million in the last year of 2022. It's basically a $471 million he's got left. And they got Blake Griffin. But I think the question is going to be, will superstars like that come to Detroit voluntarily?
No.
Does he get traded here?
No.
Will they come here
and play?
It depends
what sport. If you're a hockey player, you want to play in Detroit.
Right.
If you're a basketball player, you don't.
Yeah.
If the Tigers are so bad,
Detroit, unfortunately, does not have its
own NFL franchise, so you're not going to want to come play for the FLs in Detroit. So Detroit always has had to overpay to get guys to come and to get guys to stay.
Getting Westbrook could make it interesting for the next couple
of
years.
We may wind up with Jake Arrieta, though. He's made a threat to Todd Frazier. He says, next time
we saw that, yeah.
Did you see that? Yeah. Major League Baseball is now going to discipline Arrieta, probably in the form of a fine, for making an extreme threat to Todd Frazier. He said he was going to throw at his head. the next time he comes up because he hits a home run and he trots down there with his home run trot.
Yeah.
And Arrieta got all bent out of shape. Yeah. My God.
He's supposed to trot. It's just you're supposed to trot. As a,
supposed to run. Just run, for God's sakes. Quit trying to show guys up. But I'm not sure if Todd Frazier's smart enough to understand what he was doing anyway. I'm sure Todd Frazier, knowing him, I've met him a number of times, he's not the kind of guy that the immediate thing he would think of is, I'm going into my home run trot.
Yeah.
I got time for a quick story, a kicker here.
Yeah.
When I was a kid growing up in Detroit, you'd be out riding around in the car with your buddies in high school, listening to music, especially on the AM radio, and every night, it'd be punctuated constantly, Sunday at the Detroit Dragway!
Yeah,
I don't know if they're still in business, but the biggest name there, and besides Cha-Cha Muldowney, Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney, was Don Big Daddy Garlis.
That's right. Yes.
Do you know that Big Daddy Garlis is still alive? And
Shirley Muldowney. Isn't Shirley Muldowney still alive?
She's not his age. Big Daddy Garlis is 87 and driving drag racers, and he's driving this weekend down in Florida. He wants to be the first man to break the 200-mile-per-hour barrier in a top fuel dragster at age 87. Now, he has had another career, Eli and Denny. I must tell you this. He did run for Congress in Florida in 1994 as a Republican.
How did he do?
And Big Daddy Garlis lost his election. Perhaps this quote from him during the election did not help. On the subject of patriotism, Big Daddy Garlis said, and I quote, "We need to teach that America is great. The people that don't like it, we should have the FBI investigate them, bring them before grand juries, and charge them with subversive, traitorous activities. Have the FBI turn up the heat on them," end quote. Big Daddy Garlis.
I love meeting Shirley Muldowney back in the day. I don't know what happened to her, but she was.
She had on the side of her car, "If you can beat me, you can eat me." I'm not kidding you.
By the way, her name was Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
Muldowney.
Anyway, we're running over. We've totally lost our discipline in this show. We're almost at an hour and 10 minutes. We used to try and keep it to an hour. So I think
Drew Lane himself suggested we run over. He said, "You guys don't have to get off after an hour. You go as long as you want."
Right.
So here we are.
An hour and 70 minutes of scintillating podcast audio. Anything, Denny, you're looking at your list.
Just one cute little story out of L.A. One chain of coffee shops in L.A., you know, everybody's got a coffee chain out there, is the coffee shops in L.A. taking the news that Kawhi Leonard decided to team up with Paul George on the Clippers instead of joining LeBron James and Anthony Davis rather hard. So now they have banned Leonard from their coffee shop. If he walks in, they throw him out.
Who
the hell wants to buy an $8 cup of coffee anyway?
And Bob, you sent me the article about the Youth Music Festival in Detroit where they're going to charge white people more than black people.
What?
They were going to.
It's amazing.
They were going to do that.
August 3rd Afrofuture Fest. It eventually got canceled because of this. But the site's event page explains, with an effort to equalize the economic terrain and give people of color, especially those from surrounding communities, the same access to the event that someone of presumably more privileged means would enjoy. So they were going to charge the white music lovers double than the people of color. But then a biracial hip hop artist pulled out, blah, blah, blah. But
I'll be darned.
Very interesting way to create equality in America.
It's a great way to stop the show.
Hey, so long, everybody. We'll see you when we record again on Monday.
By the way, I need to make a quick announcement.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to be in
Charlotte. Where are you signing?
I'm going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina this weekend.
Great town.
I'm going to be at the Charlotte Knights baseball game tomorrow night. If you're in the area, come see us. It'd be a great
what
time.
What league are they in, the Charlotte Knights?
AAA.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. And then last night I was at the Make-A-Wish Foundation out in Grand Rapids. What a great show they put on last night. It was great people, great money, a lot of money. I didn't realize Grand Rapids got that much money.
Oh, man, they got a ton of money. That's where the DeVosses are.
It must be nice to be able to make a living. Somebody went to you, Eli, and said, "Eli, how do you make your living?" said, oh, I just make my living being Eli Zera.
Yeah, just sign my name.
That's all Denny McClain does. He just makes his living being Denny McClain.
But I don't make any money when I do a charity. I don't make any money there.
By the way,
but tomorrow night I do.
Minor league baseball is fascinating. It is. What's fascinating to me is that's why I asked you what league it's
in. And you and I were together for half the summer.
Triple-A teams, man, like in Toledo and where you're going, beautiful ballparks. You know, it's just it's even a better experience than the major leagues because you're closer to the action. The players are – I mean, the Tigers are fielding a Triple-A team anyway. But then you go down to Class A like Lynchburg, places like that where they're just, you know, rocky infields, nobody's showing up, you know, just nasty food. It's a big, it really runs the gamut. And that place we went in Hershey, that was Double-A Reading.
Oh, that's right, Double-A Reading, yeah.
Beautiful ballpark. Anyway, we'll see you again. I think we already signed off. Am I signing off for the third time?
You're signing off
for the third time. So long, everybody.
Off, then Denny interrupted you. You just keep getting interrupted with us.
Have a great weekend, folks.
So long, everybody.